going with a Jesus story. Matthew 12 is one way to show whether we should ever break a lesser commandment to keep a greater one. Most of the time, we can do all of them. But there are some times when human authority, evil human authority, forces a choice. Thou shalt not lie. What if Pharaoh commanded all the boy babies to be thrown into the river? Then the midwives said to him, all the boy babies are already born before we get there. So they were thinking, thou shalt not kill is more important than deceiving the Pharaoh. Thou shalt not lie is a great commandment, but greater, thou shalt not kill. The Bible says to obey the king. What if the king commands evil things or some other lesser human authority? Beware of evil people. They can force a decision. God's commands can usually all be kept at the same time if people stay out of it, but there are situations where they cannot all be done at the same time. That subject will come up again in Matthew chapter 12, although it begins with something that really wasn't a command at all. They just want to make up human rules. It will begin with their rule about picking grain with your hands on a Saturday. There isn't any Bible verse in the Old Testament law of Moses that says, thou shalt not eat anything on Saturday. But it was a man-made religious rule, not really a command of God at all, just a man-made religious rule that the Pharisees believed. So that's the first two verses. Not really any contradiction between the real commands of God, just a legalistic rule that Jesus and disciples were not following. Verses 1 and 2. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on Saturday, the Sabbath. His disciples became hungry and began to pick heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But it was a Saturday. Verse 9 will be Saturday coming. Probably two different Saturdays, probably one Saturday and then the next Saturday. But they were on their way to the synagogue in verse 9, so maybe they were on their way to the synagogue here in this first previous week. And they didn't do anything that the Bible said was actually wrong. This did not actually involve stealing anything. The law of Moses commanded the corners of the field to be left for people to have that needed them. They also said in the law of Moses that when you pick a field, you can't go through it a second time. So if you've missed some grain out there, others can have it. That's the story of the book of Ruth, where she was gleaning in the fields. It wasn't a thing wrong. Deuteronomy 23, 24, and 25. When you enter your neighbor's vineyard, then you may eat grapes until you are fully satisfied, but you shall not put any in your basket. So eat what's left. They've been picked. Eat what's left, but you just can't fill up a basket and take it home. When you enter your neighbor's grain, then you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not wield a sickle. In other words, they could have what they were hungry for. No problem. Nothing wrong with taking it. The objection comes that they did it on a Saturday. Well, Exodus 20 said that you shall work 6 days and do all your labor, and you shall not work on Saturday. But it didn't define everything as work. Certainly picking the field all day long would be work, but taking a little bit of kernels? Is that defined as work? The religious elite, the Pharisees, said that was work. This is our rules that we have made. Jerusalem, on a Saturday, we were at the hotel, and it stopped at every floor. And that was weird. Couldn't quite figure out why there's nobody there. It opens up, door closes, open up, door closes, just up. And then a Jewish person said, well, you can't push a button on a Saturday. So it opens at every floor. The Jewish person said they were going to the synagogue, but it bugged them because they had forgotten to take their Torah or their Bible to the synagogue, but he could not carry it out of the hotel room into the synagogue because carrying a Bible was against the Sabbath. So he wasn't going to have any Bible with him. The Mishnah is a book after the Bible. It gives a list of all things that they could not do. One was you cannot write two letters, you cannot erase two letters. Now, these aren't letters to go in the post office. These are you can't write A and B, and you can't erase A and B on a Saturday. You cannot tie or untie. That means you can't wear a tie. Maybe that's a good rule, huh? You cannot sew two stitches. You cannot tear a thread in order to sew two stitches. Rule number 39. I have them all over here. I'm not going to read them all. Rule number 39, because they had to stop before they got to 40. So rule number 39, you can't transport an object. That's probably why the guy couldn't carry a Bible on Saturday. You cannot transport an object. However, you can carry a spoon on Saturday. So if you put a spoon on top of your suitcase, you can carry it. Those were their rules. Now, these are outside the Bible and beyond the Bible. In the Bible, we have a Sabbath day's journey. That gets referred to all through the New Testament, a Sabbath day's journey. And we know a Sabbath day's journey was 0.7 miles. You could go 0.7 miles. Beyond that, it was work. However, they would put up tents and huts all over town. And they would leave their house and go to their first tent and say, this is my house now. I can go 0.7 more of a mile. Then they would go to another tent. They would say, this is my house for the next few minutes. Now I can go 0.7 more of a mile. That's actually the kind of things that they did. They had all these rules. Picking a handful of grain on the Sabbath is not really in the law of Moses. It was in the category of the Pharisees' man-made rules. Now, if the Pharisees wanted to make a personal preference and say, I will not pick grain on the Sabbath, that was all right for them to have a personal rule. But it's not all right to condemn other people for things that were not in the law of Moses. This is called legalism. It is not legalistic to have personal preferences. I thought it was funny that Ken mentioned dance. We tend not to dance at our church. It's just cultural. We do clap. And it would be okay to not do it or do it. Don't have any Bible verses on either one of them. They're just personal preferences. It is okay to have a personal preference. It's okay to have a church preference, which our habit so far has been, we can clap. Not 40 years ago when I first got here. That changed. So I just kind of watch it. Doesn't matter. Personal preference, church preference. I don't know whether I want to start dancing. We can still decide. But the Pharisees were not really objecting to anything that was really wrong at all. just legalism. Now, if you want to have a personal preference, that's okay. It's just not all right to judge other people and say what terrible sinners they are if they don't keep their personal preference. Now, the disciples didn't break anything in the law of Moses. Jesus now will tell them a story, and the reason we separate it is they are going to break the law of Moses in the story. David will break the law of Moses in the story because he can't do everything. And they will suspend the lesser law to keep the higher law. Because human evil, they're trying to murder him. Human evil will force a decision between two commandments. So let's read verse 3 through verse 5. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God, and they ate consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to eat, for those who are with him, but for priests alone? Have you not read in the law that on a Saturday the priests in the temple break the Sabbath, they're working away on Saturdays, and are innocent? The story that Jesus refers to begins with King Saul trying to kill David. In the context, Jonathan, the prince, Saul's son, will shoot arrows. The errand boy, if the errand boy were told, you can come shorter to get the arrows than David could come home. If he told the errand boy, you need to run further away, get distant, then David was in danger and had to flee King Saul. David did flee. He was on the run. It was a life and death situation. He goes to the tabernacle. The high priest asked no questions, but he could tell that David might be killed. David was not a priest. He was not supposed to eat bread from the table of showbread. They had a little table, and they had 12 loaves, picturing the 12 tribes of Israel, and they would take it in the holy place, and they would stay there until the next week. They would take it out and put new bread in. That was the only bread at the tabernacle. Tabernacle is not a bakery. It's not for everybody. It's just for the priests. So it was actually against the law of Moses. Not just a personal preference. It was actually against the law of Moses for a non-priest to have this bread. But this was a matter of life and death. It was a situation of we better suspend the law lesser about this bread and give David and his friends something to eat and take away while they're on the run so they don't get murdered. Thou shalt not kill was more important than lay people should not be eating this bread that's been in the tabernacle. Higher laws and lesser laws. Jesus said there are higher laws and lesser laws. The greatest commandment is to love God. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. Then they are lower than that. Matthew 5:19, Jesus said, whoever annuls one of the least of these commandments. In other words, supposed to keep them all, but there are really important ones, and there are lesser. He told Pilate, John 19:11, he that delivered me to you has the greater sin. Caiaphas was worse than Pilate, doing all these trials of Jesus, wanting to kill him. When all of God's commands can be kept, they must be kept. But there are times, and it's usually evil human authority, forces a choice. Then we obey the higher, suspend the lesser. Pharaoh says to kill the boy babies. Nope. Bible says to obey the king. Nope. Not obey the king when he says to kill the boy babies. Obey the king, wise man. Come back and tell him where Jesus is staying in Bethlehem. God says, go home another way. Okay, we go home another way. We don't obey the king on that. He's evil. and read the verses. We ought to obey God rather than man. That was a situation where they weren't supposed to teach any more about Jesus. Acts 4:19, whether it's right in the sight of God to heed you more than God, you be the judge. We will not stop. In our scripture reading, that was Acts 4:19. Here's Acts 5:29. Again, we ought to obey God rather than men. In modern times, there can be abusive authority. We usually don't have it. We might have been getting closer. We'll see how it goes in the next few years. World War II, the Nazis banging the door. Are there any Jews in this house? Think of Dutch history and Corrie ten Boom and all that. The disciples didn't break any Old Testament commands to pick grain on the Saturday. That was personal legalism. But David here in this story, he did break a lesser command. In order to keep a greater command is get these guys out of here so they won't be killed. So go ahead and eat this table of showbread. This, what I'm giving, is called hierarchical ethics. Hierarchical ethics is a form of absolute ethics. These are God's commands and they must be done. They are absolute. On the other hand, they're in order. It's not a situational ethics where the person gets to decide what I'll do and won't do. What's best for me? Is it best for me to disobey the Bible? That's situational ethics. But absolute ethics can be in a form of, well, they are in orders. They are absolute. We have to do them. We have to do them. Usually they can all be done, but they might be higher or lesser. If humans abuse their authority and force a choice, then we can suspend the lesser to keep the higher. Now we did that second section in order to look at hierarchical ethics. The section, verses 6 through 8, the main thing is the reason for a synagogue service was Jesus. Or applied to now, the reason for a church service, the person who is Lord of Sunday is the Lord Jesus Christ. We will read verses 6 through 8. But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. Verse 7, but if you had known this, what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of Saturday. Applied to now, the Son of Man is Lord of Sunday. He is the object of worship, which is also a claim to being God. So verses 6 and 8 are more important, but we will look at verse 7 and then come back. Verse 7 is a quote out of Hosea. And in my Bible, the Old Testament quotations are capitalized. And the quotation is, love is more important than rituals. Love is more important than the sacrifice. Now, very often, both can be done. Both are good, and very often both could be done. And the Old Testament person could love God and go to the temple, or love God and go to the synagogue. But he's talking to people who don't love anybody. They just like rituals. And that can be applied to modern times and applied over to the church. God wants us to attend church. God wants us to sing and worship. God wants us to read the Bible, but God doesn't want people who don't care about him just going through rituals. He wants love God first, love your neighbor as yourself, which these Pharisees were not doing, and then church rituals. Usually all can be done. He wants both, but these Pharisees They were just doing the sacrificial rituals. They were just doing what they should do on a Saturday and condemning everybody, even for things that were not wrong. And they condemn picking the grain, but what's going to get coming on? They're going to condemn for helping a man with a paralyzed hand. They're not going to love the man that comes with a paralyzed hand. They're not going to show any compassion at all. They just want rituals, including not taking care of the man with a paralyzed hand and not grabbing a little bit of food on the way to the synagogue. We'll get to that as we read the next section. First, we'll look at verses 6 and 8, which we have gone around. Jesus is greater than the temple. Quite a claim, actually. Synagogue in every town at Jesus' time. Every town had a little synagogue in it. One temple. Just one. That's the places where all the sacrifices went to. They could have a synagogue in every town and have a Saturday service there, which Jesus was actually doing and he was teaching. Because the parallel in Luke has Jesus teaching this. And the Pharisees are there to criticize, but Jesus was the one up front doing the teaching. And he's claiming while he's teaching that he's greater than the temple in Jerusalem, verse 6, and he is the object of worship on Saturday. Oh, that will make the Pharisees really, really mad. Not just picking grain. Now, after he picked the grain, he goes inside the synagogue and starts to talk. Probably sitting on a seat. They had little seats called Moses seat, usually made out of stone. And one of the things he's saying is the Son of Man, his favorite title of himself, 81 times, is Lord of all Saturdays. Oh, they would be really, really mad. I am the reason we're having a get-together on a Saturday. I am the object of worship in the temple in Jerusalem. The disciples weren't breaking any law by picking grain on Saturday, and he wasn't going to break any law by helping a person in this synagogue with a paralyzed hand. The Pharisees were absolutely mad. He's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be the object of worship. It says they went to their own synagogue. Now there, is that the critics or is there the disciples? Looking at the traveling here in these chapters, they're probably at their own synagogue in Capernaum. He's probably at the synagogue where he had gone to since he lived in Capernaum with the disciples. And these Pharisees would come and they wanted to destroy him. And he sees the man with the paralyzed hand and heals him. Let's read that next section, verse 9 and following. Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there with a hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, is it lawful to heal on a Saturday, that they might accuse him? He said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep? If it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. He said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it is restored to normal like the other hand. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. Doesn't say that the man was asking to be healed. He was probably going to listen to Jesus teach. And he was in the synagogue service on a Saturday. Their critics were the one who brought him forward and gave attention to the disabled man. They didn't really care about him at all. No compassion, as he just told them. They didn't care about the person that had troubles. They didn't care about the hungry disciples picking grain, but they really didn't care about the guy with a disabled hand that's sitting there in a synagogue. What law of Moses verse says you can't do medical help on a Saturday? And here were their own rules that did allow medical help on a Saturday. Babies would be born on Saturdays, just like every other day. And outside of the Bible, you have their rules. And it was no problem for midwives to go to the houses and help deliver babies on a Saturday. If you were sick, could you take medicine on a Saturday? Yeah. So they did allow, in their own rules, they allowed medicine on a Saturday. Just not going to allow this person to be made better on a Saturday. That would be work. Although it won't take much work for Jesus. He will do it very, very fast. It's not like it's hours of work. So they bring him forward to see if Jesus would do a medical work. They could criticize him again on a Saturday. This story is in the parallel Gospels, and Mark 3:5 is a parallel, and it gives Jesus emotions. After looking around them in anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored. Mark is Peter's memory. And Peter, watching in the synagogue, says he remembers Jesus was righteously mad. He was mad at these people. Can't pick grain on a Saturday, maybe on your way to a synagogue. But picking grain to eat a little bit of it is not the same as working all day. And here's a person that has a disabled hand, and doctors could work on a Saturday, but Jesus couldn't do anything, and for him, it really wouldn't be any work. It was immediate. So he really, really makes them mad. He gives the story of a sheep, and most of the people there were not business people. A Pharisee is a business person. Think of a Pharisee as running a business. Most of the people there did have sheep. Most of the people there were like farmers, or at least had a few sheep. And would they get a sheep out of a ditch on a Saturday? Yeah, they would. I didn't grow up on a farm with sheep. They were around. I could hear them bleating, but we had dairy cows. If the dairy cow is sick, needs a vet on a Saturday, Grandpa would stay home from church and take care of the dairy cow. Here, it is lawful to do good on a Sabbath. So the people listening will understand the story about sheep, and they will understand Jesus' healing. And Jesus could heal anybody he wanted to heal. Sometimes he did not heal because they had no faith. Other times it doesn't say a thing, whether they had faith or not. It doesn't say. This guy probably had some. He wanted to hear Jesus talk, but there's nothing special about his faith. He's just sitting there with a withered hand, and they bring him forward and want to get Jesus in trouble, and Jesus just says, "Stretch it out and it's healed." Now, Jesus is going to leave the synagogue and walk outside, and we will do the next section before we quit for today. Verse 15. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. It's he'd walked outside the synagogue. Many followed him, and he healed them all. He warned them not to tell them who he is. I mean, he's the Messiah, but let's not bug these people that just were criticizing me in the synagogue at Capernaum. Verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry out, nor anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off. A smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope. Jesus knew that the Pharisees were about to destroy him. Verse 14. So he left the synagogue and went outside. He was helping people. He told them not to go back and tell them he's the Messiah. Just stay quiet with these critics for now. Verse 17 gives another dual authorship introduction. Who wrote the Bible? God wrote it, but he spoke through the human author. Who wrote Isaiah? God wrote it. Isaiah wrote it. Dual authorship. Isaiah wrote it. God supervised. God approved. So it was done without mistakes. Isaiah is the author. God is the author. God is the author. No mistakes. Here, Jesus quotes Isaiah 42. We've been doing Revelation in the Sunday School Hour, and Revelation is all about destroying the world, the second coming. The first coming is all patience. The first coming is all long-suffering, all endurance. Just like now, grace, time to trust in Jesus the Savior, no world destruction. He's talking about his first coming. He's quoting Isaiah 42. He's saying that he will be gentle at his first coming. Still gentle right now. Most of the time, maybe an individual punishment, but not a world punishment. Waiting and waiting and waiting. Time to have grace. Time to get saved. And here is a reference that everybody in the world can be saved. When he had sent out the apostles earlier in Matthew chapter 10, he said, don't go the way of the Gentiles. As he's getting more and more rejected at his first coming, now, in his name, the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, verse 21, they will trust. So we wanted to stop here because we will get to a house divided against itself cannot stand next time. And we will get to Abraham Lincoln quoting that and other Bible verses that Abraham Lincoln quoted. Will the musicians please come?